a sinner.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
So far, Pastor Haggard, you've kept that commandment perfectly today.
So far today, that particular one, yes.
The fact is, I am guilty of sexual immorality.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
I do one of these every single Sunday morning. Even when I'm standing in the pulpit doing the preaching, a sermon review. I think every pastor ought to do a sermon review before they get into the pulpit, ask themselves some very simple questions. But more important than that, really even more important than the pastor doing it himself, the people ought to be doing it. Did you know that on Sunday morning, your primary task when you go to church is not to sing or pray, but to listen, and to listen carefully? You're there to hear God's word. And if your pastor's worth his salt, you are there not only to passively listen, but to listen and to evaluate and to do a review. Now, this review isn't based on your opinion, your ideas, your feelings. It's based upon God's word. Welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In the first hour of the program today, as we come to you live this Monday, the 7th of July, we're going to do a classical Issues Etc. sermon review. I'll walk you through the how and the wherefore in just a moment. The sermon we're going to review, none other than Joel Osteen, pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States, Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, his latest sermon called Tuning Into the Voice of Victory. In the second hour of the program, we're going to spend a few minutes talking about gay marriage in California and the right to life as the foundation for all human rights. Robert George of Princeton University will be our guest, and then, since we're coming off of this holiday season, the Independence Day season, and weekend, we're going to spend some time talking about American civil religion with Dr. Ken Cherb of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. You can join us here in the first hour. Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-6943, or email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Now, I'm not saying that the way we review sermons here on Issues Etc. is the only way to review a sermon, but the way we do it here has a specific purpose. We have a three-part diagnostic, and it begins with the simplest of all questions when it comes to Christian preaching. It seems so simple that you might even think it's too simple, but I don't think it is. How often is Jesus mentioned? Do you realize that if you listen to a sermon, good, bad, indifferent, if you listen to a sermon and that preacher is able to step down out of the pulpit or off the stage or wherever he does his preaching without having mentioned Jesus, that you have not heard a Christian sermon? What makes something Christian? Christ makes something Christian. And if your pastor can't be bothered to mention the Christ in his preaching, he isn't preaching Christian sermons. He might talk about the Christian. He might talk about you. He might talk about the Bible. But Christian preaching is first and foremost preaching of Christ. St. Paul says, I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. Christian preaching is defined by preaching the Christ, not the Christian. So the first part of the diagnostic is, how often is Jesus mentioned? It's a simple running tally, just on your bulletin, whatever they hand you, your little pencil that they give you in the pew, just keep a running tally of how often the pastor mentions Jesus. That doesn't tell you much, but it does tell you whether or not this sermon is about Jesus or even mentions Jesus. By the way, good piece of advice, if you go weeks and weeks your pastor hasn't mentioned Jesus, talk to him. If he still doesn't do it, leave that church and find another one. I don't care whether it's a Lutheran church, a Presbyterian church, a Baptist church, find another church where Christ is preached. And that brings us to the second part of our diagnostic. Is Jesus mentioned? Well, if Jesus is mentioned, then go on to part two. Is he the subject of the verbs? Now, I know that sounds a little unusual, a little grammar on Sunday morning, but grammar is very useful. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Is he the one who does the verbs, runs and drives the verbs? Is this a sermon about what Jesus has done or about what you do? Is this about what Jesus has done for you or about what you do for Jesus? The difference between the two couldn't be farther apart. So is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And all you need to know is who's doing the doing. And if Jesus is mentioned and he's the subject of the verbs, and notice how often in Christian preaching in the Bible, it is Jesus who is the subject of the verbs. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Shortest, sweetest sermon ever preached by John the Baptist. Jesus, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the subject of all the verbs. And that brings us to part three, which is, if he's mentioned and he's the subject of the verbs, then what are those verbs? Let's go back to John the Baptist's little sermon. He says, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He had many opportunities to preach the Christ, but when it came down to that moment where he put his finger out to point out who Jesus is, he came right to the point. This is the Lamb of God who is carrying the sins of the world. What are the verbs that your preacher is using? Is this the Jesus who helps you, inspires you, motivates you? That's all good stuff, but that's not the heart of the matter, is it? Christian preaching is about Christ and him crucified for you. Unless your preacher is preaching the Jesus who came for you, lived for you, suffered for you, died for you, rose again for you, you're not hearing Christ and him crucified for you. So is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And how often? And I'm sorry, what are those verbs? Then, if you still have enough brain power at the end of the sermon, you can step back and do a fourth part of the diagnostic, which is, what has the preacher told me my problem is? How did he diagnose my problem? And what solution did he give me for that problem? Is my problem that I don't have enough time in the week? Well, you can solve that with time management. You don't need Jesus to solve that problem. But if my problem is sin and death, then the only thing that solves that problem is a sinless, sacrificial Christ. So here's the sermon from Joel Osteen. Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. It's Joel Osteen's latest. It's called Tuning In to the Voice of Victory. Let's listen for Jesus, see if he's the subject of the verbs, and what are the verbs.
I want to talk to you today about tuning in to the voice of victory. There are all kinds of voices and all kinds of thoughts we can tune into. It's just like with a radio station. There are hundreds of different frequencies in the air right now all around us. If we had a receiver, we could tune in to station after station. You've been in your car before and something comes on that you don't really like. It's no big deal. You don't make yourself sit there and listen to it. You don't just endure it. You simply hit a button and switch over to a different channel. It's the same principle in our thinking. All through the day, hundreds of thoughts are coming into our mind. Many of these thoughts are negative and discouraging. Things like, you'll never accomplish your dreams. You'll never get well. You'll never get married. You'll never get out of those problems. Many people don't realize you don't have to stay on that channel. Just because a thought comes into your mind doesn't mean that you have to dwell on it. If that thought is negative, discouraging, condemning, you simply need to tune off that frequency and find a different channel. There's a channel that I call the voice of victory. It's found in God's Word. It says, you are blessed. You are prosperous. You are forgiven. You are healthy. You have favor. You can overcome your obstacles. You can accomplish your God-given dreams. If you're going to live in victory, you have to stay tuned to the right channel. This is why many people have no joy, no energy, no enthusiasm. Their thinking is wrong. When we think sad, discouraging thoughts, studies tell us that our serotonin level goes down and it causes us to feel sad. It's not just in our head, it affects our moods. It affects the way we feel.
Okay, now he's given us an analogy that he wants to work with in the course of his sermon. Joel Osteen has talked about tuning into the right channel. There's the wrong channel, he says, and he'll go into that in more detail. Then there's the right channel, which he calls the voice of victory, which is that channel that encourages you. Now, he's given himself a pretty good open if he wants to talk about listening to the right voice. And I would say that would be the voice of the Word of God, but notice in the remainder of this sermon how little the Word of God figures into this voice of victory, how much that inner voice figures into it. He's already used a very good word. We'll see if he does anything with it. He says, I am forgiven. That's a good thing for Christians to remember. That's what God's word teaches us. We'll see how much Joel does with I am forgiven when he talks to his listeners, and his audience is worldwide, millions worldwide every week, about tuning into the voice of victory. And he's given us, or at least he's begun to give us, a very reasonable and perfectly scientific explanation for why you may feel bad if you think negative thoughts. Well, it has to do with serotonin. I'm no doctor. I don't know why it is that negative thoughts might produce negative feelings. But ask yourself this question. Is your real problem your negative feelings? As you listen to Joel Osteen preach this sermon on tuning into the voice of victory, not getting discouraged, but encouraging yourself, is your real problem how you feel about yourself? You know, there are a lot of people out there who feel great about themselves and still have the same problem I have that you have, our sin. It's not just about how you feel. We're doing a sermon review this hour. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues, etc. back. Joe Warnke, Ben Crawford, Pastor Tim Hahn, Deborah Tice, Pastor Ron Rock, Catherine Knight, Pastor Scott Porath, Mary Ellen Lambert, Amy Crawford, and Jane Casey. Thanks for your support.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified, you're listening to Issues, etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues, etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues, etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, doing a little sermon review here in the first hour this Monday, the 7th of July. Join us if you would, 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. When Jesus is talking to his opponents in John chapter 5, the Pharisees, the scribes, they knew their Bibles backward, forward. What does he say to them? You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. He tells his opponents where to look and what to look for. Look in scripture, that's good, because eternal life is there. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. How is it now that then we have so many preachers today who stand in the pulpits or on their stages and preach without mentioning Jesus? We're listening to a sermon from Joel Osteen, tuning in to the voice of victory. Back to Joel, and we're listening again for Jesus.
But when we go out each day, positive, hopeful, excited about our future, knowing that God is in control, as we think those thoughts, endorphins are released throughout our system that cause us to feel happier, to have more energy. It puts that spring in our step. And some of you wonder why you're feeling blah and why you don't have the energy and the enthusiasm for life that you used to. It's because you're tuned in to the wrong frequency. You can't go around all day thinking, I can't stand my job, and I'm so overweight, and I'll never get out of debt, nothing good ever happens to me. When you think those thoughts, your faith, your energy, your enthusiasm is being drained out. Just like a big vacuum, it's pulling out all the good things God put in you. You'd be amazed at how much better you would feel, how you'd get your joy back. If you just get up each day, and instead of being passive and just thinking the first thought that comes to your mind, oh man, it's going to be another lousy day. No, stay on the offensive. Learn to think thoughts on purpose. Don't let yourself talk to you. Start talking to yourself. Get up in the morning and make a declaration of faith. This is going to be a great day. I know God has directed my steps. I have His favor. Goodness and mercy are following me. I'm excited about this day.
Now, he mentioned God. I want to point out something, that this is one of the tricks that many popular preachers use. In lieu of mentioning Jesus, they mention God. In fact, one might say there's an awful lot of preaching of God in Christian pulpits today. But God is a generic term, isn't it? God means one thing to one person, another thing to another person. Jesus, while that also can mean different things to different people, is a little more specific than God. That's why the diagnostic is, how often is Jesus mentioned? And then, of course, you find out what Jesus the preacher is talking about when you do the rest of the diagnostic. Is he the subject of the verbs, and what are the verbs? He says, make a declaration of faith. Get out there and make a declaration of faith. Think thoughts on purpose. But did you hear what his declaration of faith sounded like? The classical declarations of faith of historic Christianity have as their subject the true God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they spend the majority of their time, whether it's the Apostles' Creed, that's all the creed is, it's a declaration of faith, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, whatever creeds have been culled from Scripture. They spend the majority of their time talking about Jesus and His saving work here in this world. They talk about His life, His suffering, His crucifixion, His resurrection. That's what a declaration of faith coming from a Christian ought to sound like. Joel's is about me, about how good this day is going to be, at how successful I'm going to be. You got to ask the question, who's the object of that declaration of faith?
When you do that, you'll be happier, stronger, and you'll see God's favor in a greater way. Pay attention to what you're thinking. Some of you have been tuned in to the worry channel for so long, you could be a lifetime member. You could own stock in that company. Well, Joel, I can't help it. I'm worried about my children, worried about my finances, worried about my health. No, there's a much better way to live. When those thoughts of worry come, you've got to make a decision that you're not going to dwell on them. Instead, use that as a reminder to thank God that He's at work in your life. Just switch the channel and begin to thank God that He's arranging things in your favor. Friends, you control the doorway to your mind. When we go around worried, thinking negative thoughts, really, we're just making matters worse. We're not only going to feel bad, but we're drawing in more defeat, more mediocrity. You need to draw that line in the sand and say, that's it. I've worn out the dial on the worry channel. I'm done listening to the Not Gonna Happen network. I'm switching over to the voice of victory. It's all in what we choose to dwell on. When somebody does us wrong, one voice says, get even, pay them back, hold a grudge, don't ever speak to them. If we dwell on those thoughts, it'll end up poisoning our own life. But there's another frequency. It says, God is my vindicator. He'll make my wrongs right. What was meant for my harm, God will use to my advantage. That's the voice of victory. When we make mistakes, one voice says, you blew it. You're done. You're never going to be blessed. You can't expect anything good. Another voice says, I'm forgiven. God's mercy is bigger than any mistake. My best days are still out in front of me.
It's amazing how close he comes without getting there. Talking about forgiveness, mercy, God's favor, without ever saying how it is we have forgiveness, how it is we can be assured of God's mercy, and how it is we know that God is favorably disposed toward us. Do we simply know it because we tell ourselves that every morning when we wake up? Oh, I'm forgiven. Well, how do you know you're forgiven? Joel would say, dismiss that question. I would say, no. Answer that question. How do I know I'm forgiven? Because as Scripture so clearly teaches, page after page, verse after verse, chapter after chapter, we have an advocate with the Father who has lived a life in our stead, taken our place at the cross, suffered, died, was raised from death on the third day for me. That's how I know I have favor, mercy, and forgiveness. It's one thing to use those words. It's another thing to actually deliver them. And if it's up to you to simply remind yourself that God is somehow favorable toward you for no particular reason, that's no more encouraging than the Buddhist who says, I think I'm right with the universe. I think I'm right with the universe. I think I'm right with the universe. We're doing a sermon review. You can join us here during this first hour of Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org.
It all depends on what voice we're choosing to tune into. Some people have been tuned into the wrong channel for years. Some families have been on the same negative station for 5 or 6 generations. It's time for somebody to rise up and retune that dial. Somebody needs to break that negative cycle and say, this is a new day. As for me and my family, we're going to live in victory. We are not going to endure life. We're going to enjoy life. But it all starts right here. What channel are you tuned into? Well, Joel, I'm just an average person. I'm just ordinary. I'll never do anything great. No, you're on the wrong channel. If you tune over to the voice of victory, you would hear, I'm one of a kind. I am a masterpiece. I have seeds of greatness. I'm going to leave my mark on this generation. Pay attention to what you're thinking. Maybe you're driving through a nice neighborhood and you see a beautiful home and that thought comes to your mind, you'll never have a house like that. You'll never get ahead. Nobody in your family is successful. You got to change the channel. Guard your mind. If you dwell on thoughts like that long enough, your own thinking will keep you from God's best. Learn to switch over to the voice of victory. God, you said, if I'd keep you first, you would give me the desires of my heart. You said, no good thing will you withhold because I walk uprightly. You said in due season, I will reap if I just don't give up. So, Father, I want to thank you that my due season is on its way.
All right, we're listening to this sermon from Joel Osteen. He's talked about God's best. I like it when Joel Osteen talks about God's best because it naturally raises a question, or at least it should raise a question in your mind. What is God's best? He's talking about success in life, feeling better about yourself, making the most of your life, living up to your full potential, being happy, being contented in life. Is that God's best? Is that the best God can do for you? Joel wrote a whole book called Your Best Life Now, and there was nary a mention of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in that book. He might have mentioned it once or twice in passing. Can we even have a coherent conversation about God's best without talking about the very best thing that God has ever done, sending his Son to live for us, die for us, and rise again for us? If God's best is just my life gets better, I feel better about myself. I don't need Jesus for that. If you can hear a sermon preached by your pastor that makes perfect sense without a crucified and risen Savior, you haven't heard a Christian sermon. When we come back, more sermon review here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin.
How you gonna have a dream come true if you don't talk happy and you never have a dream? Then you'll never have a dream come true.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Elizabeth Crawford, Jonathan Schultz, Ronald Pirani, Matthew Wolf, Stacy Picard, Glenn Piper, Gary Patterson, Jonathan Bass, Bjorn Larson, and George Silvestra. Thanks to each and every one of you for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Sometimes God's blessings really get your attention. Janelle Perry and her husband Robert were blessed with identical triplets. Here's the unusual part. She conceived them naturally and is a 47-year-old grandmother of two. This latest addition gives them a total of 8 children. Janelle and Robert sold all their baby things last year after failing to conceive. In November, their 4-year-old daughter, Rebecca, told her mom she had 3 babies in her tummy, one for her and each of her parents. Janelle told her there are no babies in there. Then, the following month, she found out she was pregnant. The Perrys feel blessed, but are now of the opinion their birthing days are behind them. They will be followed by full and undoubtedly busy days raising their 4 young children.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Scott Klusendorf will join us. We'll talk about defending the pro-life position. We'll also talk about next week's meeting of the leaders of worldwide Anglicanism. It's called Lambeth. It happens usually about once every decade. Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us to talk about that very significant meeting, where a lot of things, I believe, are going to come to a head, especially with regard to the Episcopal Church USA. Then we'll talk about, you may have seen this in the paper, the discovery of a tablet that seems to describe a Messiah who will rise from the dead. Dr. Jeff Kloa of Concordia Seminary will be our guest tomorrow to talk about that. Our call-in number is, we review Joel Osteen's latest offering by way of a sermon called Tuning In to the Voice of Victory, 877-623-6943, 877-623 My IE. You can email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. I think Joel's put his finger on something. It probably accounts for his remarkable success as a preacher. And I think we can safely call Joel Osteen, at least today, the most successful preacher in America. He has the largest megachurch. I think that they've surpassed 40,000 in a week by way of attendance. They don't even measure membership at places like this anymore. They just go by attendance. They fill the former Compaq Center there in Houston, Texas. We went there about a year ago. Jeff and I decided to go on a Sunday morning to visit Lakewood, and It is as big and as breathtaking as it looks on television. And he's got a television program that is seen every week by millions and millions. He's successful. If anyone, at least one would think, if anyone can tell you how to live the life he's talking about, the victorious life, Joel seems to be pulling it off, which is probably a big part of his appeal. I ask that question again. Is your biggest problem how you feel about yourself? Or do you have a problem more objective than your subjective feelings? Let's hear more from Joel Osteen. The sermon's called Tuning In to the Voice of Victory.
And it's amazing how we can train our ear to hear what we want to hear. And some people are so trained to hear the negative, they just latch on to it. Whenever a thought comes telling them something discouraging about themselves or their family, they just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Gets them defeated. They go around all depressed. But then there are other people that have trained themselves to latch on to these positive, hopeful thoughts. They can have 1,000 negative thoughts bombarding their mind. It's never going to get better. Business is slow. Nothing is changing. All these negative thoughts. But then one thought comes. One simple phrase that says, your future is going to be brighter than your past. They weed through all those other thoughts and they latch hold of that one faith-filled thought. That's the way we need to be. So disciplined in our thought life, we can weed through 100 discouraging thoughts and grab hold of one encouraging thought. We have to have our ear trained in the right way. We have at home 2 little dogs that live with us. They're Shih Tzus. One is named Daisy and one is named Spirit. That Spirit there, she's a beautiful little dog. They say dogs over time begin to take on the looks of their owners. It's funny, my brother Paul owns a bulldog. But I'm amazed at how sensitive Spirit's hearing is. She is so tuned in to her surroundings, she can hear people coming to the front door long before they get there. She'll start barking 10 or 15 seconds before they ever ring the doorbell. She has trained herself to hear what she wants to hear. And little Spirit loves cheese. When we're in the kitchen and we get the cheese out, it's in that little Ziploc bag that it comes in, Spirit immediately comes running, sits at our feet, and waits for her piece of cheese. There have been times when the whole family is in the kitchen. There's all kinds of noise, all kinds of sounds. Somebody's getting the cereal. Somebody's getting chips. The blender's going. Somebody's wrapping up food. Spirit sits there as calm as can be, never even flinches. But the moment we touch the cheese, she comes to attention. Her attitude is, it's my time now. I am ready for my snack. There have been times where I have tried to sneak a piece of cheese out of the refrigerator without her hearing it. I've told my children, watch this. I'll open up the refrigerator. I don't even get the cheese out. I leave it there so it won't make any noise, and very quietly and delicately I try to open up that Ziploc bag. Spirit is in another room, 30 feet away, sleeping, but you cannot fool that dog. She either has supernatural revelation or she has great ears, but it is impossible to keep her away. Why is that? She has trained herself to hear what's important to her. She doesn't care if I get the bread out. It makes noise. She doesn't care if I get the chips out or the lettuce. It's wrapped in the same type of package. None of that matters. It goes in one ear and out the other. All she's concerned about is the cheese. And she is keenly aware of that sound. My question to you today is, what sound are you tuned into?
It's a great question. Now, I think you've seen there in the last few minutes that Joel Osteen really is possessed of some rather, I think, remarkable communication skills. He is a very able communicator. The question is, what is he communicating? He's telling a quaint little story about his little dog, and I think it's a great analogy misapplied. I think it's a marvelous analogy applied in exactly the wrong way. He's asked the right question. What are you tuned in to hear? His answer to that question, you'll see here in a moment, is pretty much your own thoughts, your own positive thoughts about yourself. This is a sermon that so far has directed you as a sinner to your own thoughts, but not to your Savior. You know what matters more to me is what God thinks than what I think. And the only way I know what God thinks about me is by looking at my Savior, Jesus Christ. But so far, this is a no Jesus required sermon. Jesus does not need to play a part in this sermon because he's not necessary, which should give you pause. I like his analogy, though. In fact, Luther came up with this analogy before Joel Osteen did. He talked about his little dog. His little dog that when he's sitting at the table eating his dinner, this dog will perch itself right next to him and keep its eye on his meat, on the food on Luther's plate, and never takes his eye off the meat. Now, Luther uses this as an analogy for prayer. He says this is how Christians ought to pray. They ought to pray like that little dog with his eye on the meat. Joel asks a good question. What are you tuned in to listen to? Is it going to be your thoughts or God's word? If you're tuned in to listen to your own positive thoughts about yourself, then you'll feel great about yourself. But you won't hear what God has to say about you, which doesn't always make you feel so good about yourself.
Some people have developed a habit of hearing the negative. They're drawn to it, almost like they feed off of it. A thought comes, it's going to be a lousy day. They just swallow the bait. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a lousy day. They wake up in the morning, the thought comes, you're depressed today. Oh, yeah, I'm depressed today. No, you got to retrain your ears. You are hearing the wrong things. Start tuning out the negative and start listening for those faith-filled thoughts. When you get up in the morning, if you'll ignore the negative long enough, eventually you're going to hear, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is going to be a great day. Just as we've trained ourselves to hear the bad, we can retrain ourselves to hear the good. When those negative thoughts come, just say, no thanks, that's not for me. Well, you've reached your limits. You're never going to go any further. No thanks, I'm not dwelling on that. Well, you'll never be blessed. You know the mistakes you've made. No thanks, I can hear a different sound. It says I'm forgiven. Well, you don't look well. I heard you got a bad report from the medical office. Yes, that's true, but I'm not dwelling on that. I can hear another sound. It says God's restoring health unto me. Well, you'll never pay off your house. You'll never get ahead. You see the price of gas? No thanks. I can hear a different sound. It says God is my supplier. God is providing all of my needs. I will lend and not borrow. You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound, the voice of victory that's saying you are blessed. You are prosperous. You can do all things. Your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts. When you hear those faith-filled thoughts, do like little spirit and just come running. Say, hey, that's for me. I believe it. I receive it. I am well able.
That's Joel Osteen. He's preaching the sermon on tuning in to the voice of victory. And we're doing a little sermon review. We got about 10 more minutes on the other side of this break. What would St. Paul have done? What would he have written in Romans chapter 7? That was read in church yesterday where I went to church. What would he have written in Romans chapter 7 if he would have taken Joel Osteen's advice and when the thoughts such as his own sin, his own inadequacy, his own inability to be fully obedient to the perfect demands of God's law came to him? When God's law spoke to St. Paul, what he wrote in Romans chapter 7 was, the very thing that I don't want to do, I do, and the thing that I wish I could do, I don't do. I find at work in me a law. While I delight in the law of God, my members are enslaved to sin. Would Paul ever been able to have written, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death, but thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ? If he would have dismissed the law, saying, no thanks, that's not for me, he never would have gotten to the cross. We'll be right back.
How he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only Son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsors section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Thomas J. Nogar, Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, Justin Williams, Hannah Adikes, Michael Schwarz, Pastor Thomas E. Fast, James Vosper, Julia Radley, and Sarah Schwarz. Thanks for your support.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
We better accentuate the positive, eliminate the
Welcome back to Issues Etc. For the next 10 minutes, we'll continue our sermon review of Joel Osteen's latest sermon, Tuning In to the Voice of Victory. In the next hour, we're going to spend some time with Robert George of Princeton University talking about two issues. Of course, gay marriage in California is all in the news. Robert George has been unflappable in his efforts to bring a federal marriage amendment. We'll also talk with him about the right to life as the foundation for all other human rights. You really can't talk coherently about human rights and deny the right to life. And then Dr. Ken Sherb will join us to talk about American civil religion. That's coming up in the next hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. And our in-studio email address this Monday, the 7th of July, talkback at issuesetc.org. Josh in St. Louis writes, he says, Joel is talking to believers, right? So he's talking about the believer's voice of victory. Joel's asking for a lawsuit from Kenneth Copeland, who's probably thinking to himself, I would sure feel good about myself if I sued the pants off Joel Osteen for infringing on my copyright. Yes, of course, another word faith teacher, the more old school word faith teacher, Kenneth Copeland has a television program called The Believer's Voice of Victory. But that Josh's email actually points out something that we need to know about Joel, and that is he's not just the most successful Christian preacher today. He also comes from a very deep-rooted tradition of the Word Faith movement, sometimes called the Positive Confession movement or the Word of Faith movement. And you can hear it coming through loud and clear in this sermon on Tuning Into the Voice of Victory. It's about redirecting your thoughts, because according to the Word Faith teaching, what you think, if your thoughts are faith-filled, that is, positive thoughts, what you think creates your reality. If you think positive thoughts, then things work out well for you. If you say things like St. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, like, the good that I would do, I can't, and the evil that I don't want to do, I do. Well, Paul's all wrong there, according to the Word Faith movement, which is why they say that can't be Paul speaking as a Christian. Paul must be all wrong there, because he's not confessing positive things about himself. He's not declaring victory. He's declaring, in some ways, that he's, well, what does he say? Wretched man that I am. Who will save me? He's declaring himself in need of a Savior. But she identifies in the very next verse, thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where Paul finds his victory, not in the little voice or in his own positive thoughts about himself. Back to Osteen's sermon, tuning in to the voice of victory.
Learn to play those thoughts over and over in your mind. Some people, they've been playing the wrong thoughts their whole lifetime. I'm unattractive. I'm undisciplined. I never get any good breaks. Life's not fair. I'm just a victim. No, you need to let those thoughts bounce off of you like water off of a duck's back. Just like Spirit sat there unfazed by the sound of the bread and the chips and the cereal, you need to just keep dismissing those thoughts. Eventually, you will hear the right sound. Eventually, somebody's going to open up the cheese. You're going to hear the sound, I'm talented. Like an alarm, something will go off down in your spirit. You rise up and grab hold of it. Hey, that thought's for me. I am talented. That thought will come, I'm more than a conqueror. I can overcome this challenge. Grab hold of those thoughts. What am I saying? Weed out the negative thoughts and learn to latch hold of those positive thoughts. I was watching a report on television the other day about bats. And there's this certain type of bat that lives in the jungle, and one of its favorite foods is a small frog. And it showed how in slow motion the bat would swoop in, pick up that frog, and take it back to the cave to eat. But what was interesting is all these frogs looked exactly alike. You could not tell any difference with the natural eye. But some of these frogs were poisonous. And if the bats ate the poisonous frogs, it would eventually kill them. The only way they could tell the difference was by the sound that the frog made. That night, all the frogs had this high-pitched chirping sound, but the poisonous frogs were just slightly higher-pitched than the non-poisonous. And these bats were so keen, they would sit over to the side and study the frogs for 5 or 10 minutes very carefully, listening intently. They had to determine what sound was coming from each frog. At one point, there must have been 20 frogs in a little bitty area like this. And this one bat was so perceptive and so tuned into the right sound, he swooped in there and picked out the one non-poisonous frog in the midst of a dozen or two dozen poisonous frogs. How could he do that? He had trained his ear to tune in to the right frequency.
Or you could say he had trained himself to ignore what he didn't want to hear. I think in psychology they have a term for that. Denial. Does St. Paul in Romans chapter 7 sound like a man living in denial? In denial of his own sinfulness? In denial of his Savior Jesus Christ? If your rule in life, as Joel seems to think it ought to be, is to ignore the negative thoughts, even when they come from God's own word. God's word is pretty tough on you. It can leave you feeling terrible about yourself when the perfect law of God is stacked up next to you and you realize you don't begin to measure up to the perfection that God's law demands. You can walk away feeling pretty bad about yourself. The same word of God delivers to you a perfect life of Jesus that he lived in your place. And guess what? That might not make you feel any better about yourself. But it does set your eyes and your ears upon the one, the only one who can comfort you in the midst of the sorrow that the law brings to sinners. If you train yourself to ignore what God's word says to you, the truth that says you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you cannot be obedient as God demands, you will never arrive at the cross or at true faith in Jesus Christ. Brian writes this from Aurora, Colorado. He says, how different Joel's advice for our first thing in the morning is from Luther's direction. And he quotes from Luther, in the morning when you get up, make the sign of the cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Then kneeling or standing, repeat the creed and the Lord's Prayer. If you choose, you may also say another prayer. Then go joyfully to your work singing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments or whatever your devotion may suggest. Does Luther say get up in the morning, dispel all negative thoughts from your mind? You know, you can't get through the Ten Commandments without realizing that you don't measure up and that only Christ measured up for you. No, it's not about how you feel about yourself. It's about what God says to you. This email comes from Steve in St. Louis. He says, I guess Joel tuned out the parts of the Bible that tells me I was dead in my sins, that all my righteous deeds were just as filthy rags. The reason that we are blessed is not due to anything that we have done, but what Christ has done for us. Joel doesn't appear to focus on that point, right? Which is why he can preach this sermon with no Jesus in it. Jesus is not required for this sermon. Since Joel doesn't consider himself a pastor but a motivator, it should be no surprise that he's not acting as a Christian pastor since there's no Christ in his sermon. That is actually why Joel says he doesn't preach sin, repentance, grace, and forgiveness in the name of Christ. He says, I'm just here to encourage people. And apparently he can do it without the cross of Jesus Christ. Susan in Tupelo, Mississippi writes, once again, faith is tied to its strength, which in this case is the strength of one's good attitude and the strength of one's ensuing success. Indeed, it's hard to distinguish strong faith from a good attitude in Osteen's sermon. At any rate, Osteen ties the promises of God to one's success, or at least to a great day, to one's ability to overcome negativism, which sounds like Scientology, by the way, right, Susan? Anyway, Osteen doesn't ask his God for nearly enough. All he asks for is success. Doesn't he know that even the pagans have great days and great success? Don't even his listeners realize this? It comes back to that point, and Joel is so fond of talking about seeking God's best. When is a person truly seeking God's best? When he wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I'm not going to let the turkeys get me down today. I'm not going to let my negative thoughts get in the way. I'm going to ignore everything that I hear that says that I can't or I didn't or I wouldn't or I should. I'm just going to talk and think positive thoughts about myself, and that's going to lead me to success. That person is seeking meager, trifling things from God. God has so much more to give, and he has given it already to sinners like you and me. The very best God gives is his own sinless son on the cross. A preacher who can stand in the pulpit and talk to you about God's best without mentioning what God did to save you through his son Jesus Christ's perfect life, sacrificial death, resurrection from the dead, is not giving you, promising you, or delivering to you God's best. He's giving you only that which the world can give you. The world can give you a great day. Success. You know, the devil doesn't care whether you have a good day or a bad day. In fact, he's fine if you have a great day every day for the rest of your life. The devil is happy for you to have a good day as long as you feel no need and hear nothing of the very best that God has done for a world of sinners in the life, death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Again, that's what is missing from Joel Osteen's preaching. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be back to talk about the right to life as the foundation for all human rights.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.